Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And this is our live weekly prophecy reality broadcast. The studio cam is on. The chat room is open at firstamendmentradio.net. You can go to our Mobi page. Or you can go to our chat page, either one. It's the same chat room on either device. You can listen to the broadcast while you're working on our Mobi device, and just keep listening. And if you're able to, please come on over to the chat room. I really don't have time to watch the other chat rooms on Rumble and Odyssey and DLive and wherever else we're broadcasting at the time. So if you'd like to participate in the program, it's firstamendmentradio.net/chat, or open up our /Mobi page and hit the chat button there at the top. Okay, let's see what we got. We got news today and current events in the first hour, jam-packed. We could probably do 3 hours, but I'm going to leave that to people like David Knight. Because he does an excellent 3 hours, and we rebroadcast him in the afternoon. So you can stick around for that. Listen to First Amendment Radio all day, or at least a good part of the day if you can. All right. Good to see you in the chat room there, Dale, and thanks for the report on our sound quality there. And Fireman Mike, good to see you there. Stephen, Claude, and first off, we have it, the Trump indictment. I have to say something about it because it's out there, so I'm going to spend a few minutes on it. It seems that there's a lot of Trump derangement syndrome going on, even on the right and the left. And all I have to say is that we should not be prosecuting Trump for something that he had the power as president to do. Because that seems like nothing but a red herring, a psyop, because there's no way that he's not going to get out from under this. Either he had the power as president to declassify documents, or he did not. And he did. I mean, who's the president going to return to and say, hey guys, I'm taking these, I know these say classified on them, but I'm taking them home for my purpose to do with them what I please because I have the power to declassify. And basically that's what he did. As opposed to, say, several vice presidents who had classified documents in their homes and in their cars and at their libraries and stuff, and they never had the power to declassify and never had to prove that the things that they took were declassified. It was a given that they were. So you can't get him on a derivatives of a crime that's not a crime. So basically, this is all set up for one purpose, and I agree with many that this was just put out at this time simply to deflect the crimes of the Biden crime family, you know, the pretender in chief there in Washington, D.C., or at the White House, or wherever he's, whatever room he's in, whether they have a little Oval Office in his own basement or what, I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. But I think it's just to deflect from the true crime that is going on. And what more can you say about that? I don't, you know, maybe Trump could get convicted in Washington, D.C., maybe in New York, okay? But I don't see him getting convicted by a jury in Miami. There's going to be one or two holdouts. They're going to have to exercise that power of a, whatever you call it, the locked jury thing. Hung jury, that's what they call it, a hung jury. At least they'll have that. If not, acquit him on every count, because every count is hinged upon him having classified documents, which he had the power to declassify simply by action. He didn't have to go to the vice president, but that's the way they're acting. Well, the vice president could have declassified, unclassified classified documents in his home, and it's okay, even though he doesn't have the power to declassify them, but not the president. I guess the president now has to go to the vice president to let him know that he's declassifying or to make it official. See, it's just ridiculous. So, sorry, David Knight and John Arthur, you guys are getting just a little bit deranged. You need to back it off a little bit. And maybe we need to get Trump on warp speed, okay? Let's try to convict him of something that he participated in, whether knowingly, intentionally, or not. We can only guess as at this time, okay? And I guess I'm done with that. That's all I'm going to say about that. Hopefully we can get back to focusing, instead of on Donald Trump, on the Biden crime family and the tapes, the recordings that America needs to hear, and America will vote accordingly, I believe. I'm not even sure. Can they cheat enough again to, we will see. You know, it's all up in the air as far as I'm concerned. And frankly, as far as I'm concerned, the best candidate for America right now, I believe, would be the Kennedy. All right? That's it. We need the Kennedy. Donald Trump would be my second choice because he did great things. Everything he did, you know, besides his personality, he did for 3 years. He did wonderful. Okay. But he sabotaged every thing he did. So that makes me not trust him so much and trust Kennedy more. Okay. But he could come in this time and not blow it. Besides that, I think if they tried to lock down the nation again, no matter who was the president, I don't think America would go along with it this time. I don't think enough people would go along with it. There's the 30% that will do everything that Joe Biden or any idiot asks them to do. Okay. And then there's the 30% who will not. And I think the other 30% have had 2 or 3 years to make up their mind. And I think they'll make the right decision this time. Yeah. Okay. All right. Dale says, I do. Are you getting married, Dale? Or it says, I don't. I don't know what that means. All right. In the chat room there at firstamendmentradio.net/chat. All right. Well, let's move on. Okay. Here we have it. And by the way, in the second hour, we're going to be talking, I'm going to try to stick mainly to prophecy and America in prophecy and how America, what's happening to America in the world, we shouldn't be surprised by. All we have to do is read our Bible. And whether it's the Masons or the bankers or the whoever, we should read our Bible for the answer, because the Bible has the answer. It's the Antichrist, stupid. You know, it's the economy, stupid. Well, I'm saying it's the Antichrist, stupid. So we'll talk about that in the second hour. The Bible has the answers, okay, for a lot of those questions that people are still going, golly, I wonder, you know, I wonder what in the world's going on and who's really in charge behind the scenes. I know there's a shadow government and something, and there are people behind the scenes pushing everything, but who is it? Well, yeah, we know who it is, okay, and the scripture tells us. All right. Well, let's go to our next headline here. Let's see what we got here. Oh, we have, Babylon Bee and, Biden updates, Iwo Jima Memorial with Pride flag. There you go. You see the picture of it there. And of course, this is Babylon Bee. So, yeah, he would if he could. I think that's what they're saying. Yes. How did he get so deranged? This Biden derangement syndrome is the true danger in America. All right. Biden Institute's call to gay prayer 5 times a day facing San Francisco. That's it. That's his whole thing. That's what he's selling the world for America. Yeah. and Americans are sick of it. I did see a video. I wish I saw David Knight yesterday played a clip of a video of some teacher playing some gay pride crap. That's about as bad a word as I want to get on the air. Junk, trash video to a classroom. And all of these teenagers in this classroom were booing. And then she threatened them with an extra day of school. So they kind of quieted down, but not very much. Yeah. And that's what we need. That's a good, to rebel against evil is what everyone needs to do. Rebel against evil. We call it the protest here. We protest against evil. So to protest against evil, or they say rebel against tyrants, is no sin. And it isn't. It is not unlawful to protest against that which is unlawful and tyrannical and plain out and out evil. And I think America, even though we have this man speaking for us from Washington, D.C., one of the city states that belongs to the Antichrist, so everybody thinks this is America, but anyone with a half a brain knows that Joe Biden doesn't speak for America. Not truly. They're just louder and prouder of their sin. And, what can I say? But anyway, he institutes for all the people that are adherents of his gay prayer 5 times a day facing San Francisco. Yeah. All right. Fake news you can trust. That's the Babylon Bee. I don't get that one. I guess you have to watch the video. Mexican or terrorist? From the Babylon Bee. But anyway, NBA, nope, don't know that one. Here's one. This one makes sense to me. Southern Baptists keep wishing God had written some kind of book telling them who can be ordained as a pastor. It keeps coming up, the women pastor things. Well, we know what the book says, that women are not to be in a position of leadership over men. Period. And that means they can't be pastors. They can pastor other women, though, and as the scripture says that they should do, that the older women need to teach the younger women. And so women have a job in the church, and they should do their job in the church, but the neglect of their job in the church has hurt the church greatly, on the most part. There are a few out there that do, that follow the word, but the majority today in the modern evangelical churches do not. And speaking as a single father in church for many, many years, they did not do their job because I had daughters that needed godly influence and they refused to take the time. But they did focus a lot of time on the single mothers. But if you were a single father, it was like, you were nothing. And nobody cared about your daughters. And nobody wanted to be an example or teach them. As the older women, I even brought that up to several pastors. They said, oh, I'll pray about that. Yeah. And I wonder if they even prayed about it. Likely they didn't, because absolutely nothing happened. Yeah. I just wanted some godly woman influence in my daughter's life. And I think they suffered because they haven't had that. And, yeah. As an orphan who had neither father nor mother, I know what the cost is. And when you get my age, when you get to your 70th year, you can look back and see what the price has been. Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's see what else we got here. Oh, bored journalists, sick and tired of flawless U.S. president. That's the mainstream media. Yeah, they're sick and tired of this flawless president, but they still kowtow because of the big bucks that they're getting. And even though the mainstream media is diminishing daily in its power, and that's one thing that is helpful. They do themselves in finally and eventually. All right, what else? Okay, that's enough of the Babylon Bee. Let's see what we have in our next report here. This is Rasmussen. I like this report here, this one here. California voters support parental rights by an overwhelming margin. See, California is not much more liberal. At least the people of California are not much more liberal than the rest of the nation. I have to report that to you because it's pretty normal where I live here in the foothills, you know, off the main road and away from the big cities. The big cities rule in California for one thing, and they've had election cheating way longer than it was ever noticed in the national elections. I think the Jesuits perfected it here first. Yeah, because they turned to California. And evidence is that before Obergefell, yeah, there was the California, the voters of California voted on a proposition. Was it a proposition? Whatever you call it. They voted, and it was on gay marriage. And gay marriage was voted down handily by the California voters. And here I see an indication that the voters of California are still not overwhelmingly liberal, nonsense, deranged people who don't know, you know, it's, you know, so voter, California voters support parental rights by overwhelming margins. And that's from Rasmussen. I'm not going to get into the details. You can check it out for yourself. You can look up Rasmussen reports there and find that. Let's see. Election fraud polling. Yep. It's the opposite of what the mainstream wants you to believe. So that we have from Rasmussen reports. And that's about all I got in that tab. This is a religious news service, your liberal Marxist news service, but it's always interesting to peruse and even read some of their articles, although I would never give them a dime of my money. I would not support them. If they went out of business, it would be fine, but they're a news aggregation service, and we have to realize that any articles that they produce definitely will have a spin. Reparations campaign takes new forms with Bible study. Juneteenth March. See what I mean? The case for restitution and restoration is laid out across the Old Testament and New Testament, reads the introduction of the National Council of Churches study. Well, yes, there is restitution. If you're a thief, it tells you how you're supposed to restore so much, you know, but that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about woke ideology and trying to, you know, conjecture it into the scripture. And they can. You can find 10,000 conjectures you can conjecture 10,000 verses in the Bible to make a case for anything on earth. So conjecture is the greatest tool of those that wish to twist the scriptures, and even some people who hold some positions, if I may name a few, dispensational futurism is all conjecture, amillennialism is all conjecture, and so is woke ideology can only be conjecture from the scripture. It can only be taken out of context and twisted to form into and build up your idea. And people believe it. I was gullible at one time in my life, and back in the 70s when I was a young Christian, and they showed me futurism and dispensationalism in the Bible and the pre-trib rapture. I was gullible enough to not realizing that they were just conjecturing out of thin air, and they had not produced one explicit statement. Yeah. But instead, were teaching me that their speculation was the truth. There it is. Let's see. Vexed by quailing attendance, sex abuse, and internal feuds, SBE takes on women pastors. And that's what was addressed by the Babylon Bee. So, well, I guess we'll find out what they come up with in the end. Can chatbot preach a good sermon? Yes. Yeah, can chatbot be filled with the Holy Spirit? Can the Holy Spirit work through chatbot? Yes, can. Well, if the chatbot merely presents the word of God, well, God can work through the word, okay? If the chatbot says a verse or reads part of the word, yes, the Holy Spirit can work through that. But the chatbot cannot be Holy Spirit-filled because the chatbot has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And these people that are going to listen to chatbot preach to them, well, I would beware. The spirit behind chatbot is not the Holy Spirit, but it would be the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, because he is in charge of the ones that are programming your chatbot preacher. There you go. What a lot of nonsense. All right, Vatican. Some news from the Vatican here. Vatican court sentences eco-activists to prison for damaging art. Yes, the three activists raise awareness of climate change by damaging artwork in the Vatican museums last summer. Yes, they will. You can go to prison. You can be in the Vatican because it's its own nation. I wonder what the jails are like in the Vatican. I wonder what kind of dungeons they have. I wonder if they're like the ones they have under in Washington, D.C. that I've been hearing about from the J6ers. I kind of wonder. They probably got some pretty old dungeons there beneath the Vatican, however many levels you go down. Or can they go down? I mean, they are surrounded by rivers. I guess they could go down with modern building techniques and stay dry. All right. Catholic bishops don't support Trump's lies. Is silence enough? Got an opinion, anybody? Bishops have avoided being sucked into bipartisan politics at the cost of supporting democracy. You know, you bet they're supporting democracy. They certainly aren't supporting our republic, are they? Yeah. Okay. See, Corporate says Vatican City has three jail cells, one prisoner, and a surge of people on trial. Interesting. Okay, let's see what else we got here. 3 years after George Floyd's death, faith groups quietly advance racial healing. A range of Christian groups are working separately to continue to address the often fraught divisions along racial lines among their members in the wider society. You only need to work on racism in your own congregation. There should not be any, not according to the scripture. Okay, well, we're going into our first break. We got more news and headlines for the next segment, and then after that we have an hour of diving into prophecy reality. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. We're going through news and headlines. One more from religious news service. As Christian Reform Synod opens, one church awaits its fate. Last year, the synod voted to declare sexually active gays and lesbians unchaste. You think so? Yeah. Yes, sexually active. Anybody. That includes not just lesbians and gays, but say adulterers, fornicators. They're all unchaste. You know, I'm an equal opportunity. We got to be equal opportunity when we declare people unchaste, not just gays. But if you're not practicing gay and lesbian stuff, then are you really gay or lesbian? No. You're defined by what you do. If you repent, you stop doing that. Okay? So I don't think you can really have gay and lesbian Christians. It's kind of an oxymoron. This year it will revisit the issue and may take action against a church that ordained a gay deacon. Well, I hope so. Yeah, they should be put out of the church. If they want to continue to practice, they should be excommunicated. And it doesn't matter what church you're in. If you proclaim Jesus as your Lord and his word as your standard of practice and faith, then that's what you should do. All right, let's see what else we got here. Oh, the Democrats versus Trump, a bad horror movie. Nah, it's a deflection, as I said. Everything you know about World War II is wrong. Well, that sounds like an interesting article. You'd have to do a show on that one. That sounds like one for David Knight to do. Who launches digital health partnership with Europe? Yes, they're trying to do the digital health COVID passport again. Thing. They're pushing on that. Pope Francis and the COVID vaccine. Did he take it? Unlikely. Yeah. He would be a knowing participant in the genocide. After all, he is a Jesuit. All right, moving on here. The Democrats, Biden. Okay, the Trump indictment. Okay, here's one. I got several more stories to get a little more deeper into. This is Deagle's 2025 depopulation forecast is on target due to millions of excess deaths, infertility, and huge surge in child deaths. And this from the expose. A controversial forecast by Deagle, a global intelligence and consulting firm, recently gained attention for its startling prediction of a significant depopulation event by 2025. Have we had that event? I believe that's the question. And I believe they're saying that, yes, this is likely what they were foretelling, even though they've withdrawn the page and the forecasts from their website. Who needs a forecast when it's raining? You don't need anyone to tell you it's raining anymore, right? Recent reports from governments in the USA, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the UK, and various European countries have brought forth troubling revelations, among which is confirmation of a staggering number of excess deaths reaching over 2 million since the mass rollout of the COVID-19 injections. And I believe it's actually been more than that, if you're going worldwide, and it may escalate. I just had a friend die, longtime friend. He was 78. He took a path, different path, 70s. I think he's 76. He took a different path than me back when he was 62. He signed up for Social Security and got on all the Medicaid, Medi-Cal, and stopped working. And I watched him slowly demise. Until he told me finally, because I hadn't seen him for several months, and he just started to stop by and visit me once in a while, and it was becoming very obvious that he was on the demise, and I was wondering correctly, because he finally admitted to me that he took 3 of the COVID jabs. Nonetheless, well, he died 1 week ago. Yeah, today. And so it was sad to watch him decline, but there was nothing I could do at that point. He was already halfway gone. So all I could do was comfort him with the gospel, which I believe he was a true believer, but somewhat astray in some of his thinking. I'm glad that our God is merciful and understanding, and it is He that judges each and every one of us. Okay, so anyway, we have the troubling 120,000 excess deaths have also been recorded among USA's infants, children, and young adults as of week 40, and they're still giving out the jab. They've made it not mandatory in California for school children to have the jab, but they will give it to them anyway. Yeah, because they're not going to ask their parents, they're just going to do it. The parents have to stand up and say, "Not my child." But that doesn't mean they won't get it. Remember the doctor we talked about last week that was at the request of parents injecting their children a saline so their children would think they already got the jab and would say it to make sure they didn't get it or get another one. So, with further government figures confirming mortality rates are the highest among the vaccinated in every single age group per 100,000 population, serious questions are now being raised about the accuracy and potential truth behind Deagle's apocalyptic depopulation predictions. What is Deagle? It's a corporation, is a minor branch of the U.S. military intelligence, one of the many secretive organizations which collect data for high-level decision-making purposes and prepares confidential briefing documents for agencies like the NSA, United Nations, the World Bank. It is known to have contributed to a Stratfor report on North Korea, etc. This means its population predictions for 2025, as well as its industrial output predictions on a nation-by-nation basis, are not mere fantasy, but instead based on strategic assumptions which are shared and well understood by other players in the intelligence community. What has Deagle predicted? Deagle predicted in 2020 that the United Kingdom would see its population decline by 77.1% by the year 2025. Two more years. Will the kill shot be that effective? Well, we shall see. If its effects are cumulative, and yeah, I'm afraid that it will be that effective. I hope not, because these are men that plan this depopulation scheme. And there are ways to fight off the spike protein, so you have to get in touch with the right people about fighting this thing if you took it. And some people, if you took three or four shots, there's likely little you could do about it but make peace with God and repent. Repent and be baptized. Make your peace with God and your fellow man, because you're just going home sooner. That's all. Okay? Not like some would say, well, the jab was the mark of the beast. No, I'm not. I can't go there. I can't support that by the scripture. And I like to be as honest as I possibly can, which is whatever the scripture says, that's what I'm going to go with. Okay, Deagle predicted in 2020 that the United States would see its population decline by 68.5%. And it has been far worse in the UK. They say 77. So it was almost 10% less of a population reduction in the US. Will it happen? Population change, they reported by 2025, remember. This, they believe it was in 2019 or 2020 that they, I saw this up last during 2020. That was before the jab. And then they took it down because the attention they were getting from people like us. So population decline by 2025, 68.5%. Like I said, I'm afraid it might happen, but it might not reach that much of a change. I hope not. Because, like I said, God is in charge of the universe, and they are not omnipotent and all-knowing. So maybe this is their hopeful projections. This is what the outcome that they were shooting for, okay? And that's what I have to believe. Okay. But pretty much, except for the extremely gullible and children that they can pump it into in the public schools. That's why it's a danger to send your children to public schools, because the COVID vaccine is on the children's schedule. And unless you actively teach your children to avoid it, but they can still talk your child into getting it. Remember, your children are children. Easily manipulated. Shouldn't, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't even be sending them to public school, period. Like sending them to a satanic temple to be educated. Oh, don't worry, we won't mess with religion. Yeah, right. As if what they're doing isn't a religion. Yes, like Joe Biden has just told you to pray five times a day facing San Francisco. It screams religion. Okay. Deagle predicted in 2020 that Australia would see its population decline by 34.6% by the year 2025. And we know how over the top Australia has been. So they may get more. Yeah. I don't know. Not in Australia. Can't see. All I hear about is what I hear about. So anyway, there it goes. And it's a very interesting, and I'll put this, it's the exposé-news.com. I'll put the link to this in the chat room. And for those of you that have joined us in the chat room there, and let me click on something here that I can click on. put this link in the chat room. Paste, and there it is. Very interesting article. And there's a lot of charts and so forth that you might find interesting to peruse. Okay? If I was David Knight, I'd drag this out to 20 or 30 minutes and go over all the details. But I only have the energy to do a live 2-hour program a week. I am a very busy man over here at First Amendment Radio Network. Okay, so there it is. And here's another one. I have this one. I found this in American Thinker. The nuclear theory... getting tongue-tied now. The nuclear theory you never knew was nonsense. And this is something I learned back in the 90s about the whole nuclear hoax. And why would they... Let's read a little bit. Let's set the tone for the conversation here. Steve Malloy, longtime editor and founder of JunkScience.com, announced an explosive expose this month in an extended article. Government and private scientists in radiation safety have been attempting to cover up a pattern of misconduct and hijack the Health Physics Society, a professional organization of radiation safety experts and officials, to take down the society's series of 22 videos featuring Dr. Ed Calabrese, which expose a long-time scan in radiation safety matters. The issue is linear no-threshold toxicology, LNT for short, also called the one-hit theory of toxic radiation genetic mutation. These bad actors have also conspired to censor and silence Calabrese, a prominent toxicologist and the subject of the video series, who did the investigation that exposed the lies used to promote LNT during the 40s and 50s by the influential Hermann Muller, awarded the 1946 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for what Calabrese has demonstrated is a pack of lies, creating the LNT scam that is with us today. Malloy says, Junk Science is presenting for the first time emails uncovered via the Freedom of Information Act that expose the inner workings of a little-known bureaucracy dedicated to keeping in place the so-called linear non-threshold model. The LNT is used by regulatory agencies to set up permitted exposure standards for radiation. Now, radiation bad, right? That's what we've learned. Radiation bad. We can't tolerate any radiation whatsoever. Okay. Anyway, very interesting article. In 2018, he says, I was asked to submit a paper to make presentation on the fraud of LNT to a joint meeting of American Nuclear Society and the Health Physics Society on low-level radiation hazards and risk management. I was asked because the organizers of the meeting knew that I was critical of LNT, radiation biophysics. I thought it was a crock, he says. LNT says there is no safe level of radiation exposure, but obviously the better rule is the rule of Paracelsus. Okay, all things are poison, and nothing is without poison. Only the dose makes that a thing is no poison. In other words, the dose makes the poison. No threshold of LNT throws that maxim out the window. Not very good English or sentence structure there, I have to admit. My negative attitude about LNT was nurtured by a 20-plus year interest in the work of Ed Calabrese, UMass Amherst, reigning expert on low-level exposure of all kinds. 1. No effect level. 2. A beneficial effect at low exposure levels, and 3. A toxic effect at higher levels of exposure. My medical experience with drug effects shows the same hermetic, diphasic effect. Drugs have a sweet spot between no effect and toxic effect. And so, what's interesting is, why would they want to deceive us about radiation and how toxic it is? Okay. Imagine this, that they could make a small, safe reactor the size of a suitcase. Okay, maybe the size of a cube, you know, 2 foot by 2 foot by 2 foot, and make it totally safe, that would produce more than enough electricity for your home. And they could do this for, say, the small price of $1,000 or a couple $1,000s, okay, to make it really safe and regulated so that it was safe, so that it could withstand a tornado. It could withstand being tossed so that the radiation doesn't leak out, okay? Because radiation can be dangerous if you're exposed to it. It can kill cells and so forth and cause other problems. But radiation, nuclear power can be safe. And that's what they wanted to prevent because of all the money and the independence that it would give people. If there's one thing the government does not want, and those that are totalitarian, plus there's the electric companies that are getting rich, and how could Obama in 2008, when he was running for president, say, in my first term, I'm going to double the cost of electricity, of course, for climate change. Not really for climate change, but that's the MacGuffin that they use to get more control over people and to keep people under control. Because if you have to plug in your car to drive it, well, they can simply withdraw. But what if you had your own nuclear reactor? Well, they had to keep nuclear energy from the people. One, it was too cheap. And yeah, it's horrible that they build these huge, huge, humongous nuclear reactors when they're totally unnecessary. Yeah. So that's the real reason why we don't have nuclear reactors and safe nuclear reactors in everyone's home. Free enterprise goes out the window for totalitarian control of the people. And you can see their plan has been working very well, because there are many things, you know, it's just like, what's that other stuff they use, that fabric they use, a fire retardant material. Yeah. But if you breathe a little bit, your lungs can't handle it, right? You're going to get cancer immediately. Well, I don't believe that. I believe your lungs were made to handle a certain amount of dust and dirt. But if you're overexposed to anything, it can be dangerous to your health. Yeah. So that's something that you might want to research into. What is, let's see, that article has a lot of good links in it, and I'll put that in the chat room too, americathinker.com. And you can check that out for yourself for what good it's going to do. I don't think in my lifetime we're going to have free banking or free energy. But it's nice to know these things, to know where we really stand, and be relieved of the delusions that have been pounded into our brains year after year after year. Even knowing these things since the 90s, when I was first exposed to this information. Yes, I was exposed to radiation information. Did it kill me? No, I think I'm much healthier for it. I think that the more you can avoid mainstream doctors or allopathic medicine, the better off you'd be. I haven't seen a doctor since I was a teenager. Yes, and I've had some health scares, I have to admit. But I always buckled down and researched and looked for the truth to see what I could do about it and asked around. I guess if you could find a good homeopathic physician, you might be better off. But I would stay away from those allopathic doctors and all of their pharmacia drugs. And because I've watched a lot of people, the demise of a lot of people my age that are already dead that I knew, were on polypharmacy. And why were they on polypharmacy? Well, because they had a job that gave them health care as a benefit. So you're going to use this health care. And you can't take supplements and do homeopathic things because your health plan won't pay for it. But they will buy drugs from Big Pharma, and they will help you get hooked on polypharmacy. And then you can watch yourself, you know, start with one drug. Then you got to take a drug to, you know, because of the side effects of that drug. But, and they just keep, the domino effect keeps going until you just shut down. Your body's so much, you know, as we're talking about poison, in whether it's nuclear or pharmaceutical poison or anything at all. I mean, you can actually, you can overdose on water. People have. Water can kill you. It's the truth. Alcohol poisoning, that's a thing too. As people die from drinking too much alcohol. Everything's poison if you get enough of it. You know, even bananas. If a crate of bananas falls on your head, it could kill you. Or a cargo train full of fruit hits you. It could squish you. Anyway, that's, let's see, anybody in the chat room got anything to say about all that? No comments in the chat room. Oh, asbestos. Thank you, Fireman Mike. Sometimes I get those blank spots, especially when I'm looking for a word. Yeah, asbestos. Yeah, you should be sitting here next to me, Fireman Mike. We should be carrying this conversation on. I need a co-host sometimes. I would extend the program for a co-host. I have Skype. We could put your face right over here. Either that or I got to get a puppet. That would be a great new show, wouldn't it? Anyway, I'm just killing it here for the end of the hour. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. This is a live prophecy reality headlines edition. In the next hour, we're going to bring it home, current events to the prophecy, but we're not going to talk about Trump, okay? No Trump derangement syndrome on this program. You want to hear some Trump derangement? Stay tuned. David Knight is coming up at 2 o'clock. Yes. And then John Arthur following that. I'm trying to temper these guys a little bit, you know. You can, like, if they spent more time just telling what the guy they believe in is going to do. But then DK, like me, that's David Knight, like me, isn't backing anybody. But I'm telling you who I favor, and that would be the Kennedy guy. I think he's our best bet. Second place would be Donald Trump. After that, I guess DeSantis. But I think we should save DeSantis for the next presidential election. Okay, I'll be back after the news. Don't go anywhere.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of our Prophecy Reality News Edition. And what are we going to talk about during this hour? Maybe it's must be the Rothschilds. That's it. They're the ones who are running the world. No. It must be the Illuminati. They're the ones that are behind all of this. But what about the Masons? They seem pretty, I just can't make up my mind. Who is the shadow? Who's pulling the strings? It's the oligarchs that seem to be, you know, like Soros and Gates and all of these rich people that own everything. Yeah. Maybe it's them. Let's see. Who could it be? who's behind this shadow government and this time, this, the WEF, that must be it, the World Economic Forum. How about the, no, the Trilateral Commission, that must be it. Yeah, that must be them. I'm having a hard time here trying to figure out what in the world's going on and who's behind it. We got all of these groups that we get to point at, but what's behind all of them? And I know it's the Vatican, but, you know, because they did rule Western Europe for 1260 years, but their rule ended about the time of the French Revolution, didn't it? Yeah, so it can't be them. Yeah. They even repented of killing all those Christians and people that wouldn't go, didn't they? Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's the Jesuits. Maybe we're getting closer here. But didn't I read in the Bible where it said that the head wound received by the beast, that would be the Vatican being the head of the Roman Empire for 1260 years, that it received a deadly head wound, or as it were to death, a head wound, but then it was later healed. Maybe we should look into that. What do you think? All you Bible believers out there, you, was it healed? Well, I say it was. Okay. And I say that the Vatican is still at the top. Now, we have the three city-states, and I put an article on my website called the, what is that article called? Let's see, I have it over here. Sometimes I have to remember things. It's nice when I can look them up quickly. And there it is. That's my homepage. The Empire of the City. And what is the city? Well, it's the city that rules over all the kingdoms of the earth, as the Bible explains it. So the empire of the city is the city, okay, which would be the Vatican. And the empire of the city, the unholy trinity that rules the world. That's what we have going on here. And now we have a lot of people, they can't believe the Bible. They're Christians, but they're not allowed to believe the Bible, that the Antichrist rules the world now, because they've been taught by the Antichrist, pay attention now, people. The Antichrist has taught Protestants, who are no longer protesting, so they're not really Protestants, they call them evangelicals now, have taught them that the Antichrist will not be revealed until they're gone. So what do they have to worry about? But what if it's a lie? What if the Antichrist was revealed when Western Europe, the Roman Empire, was divided into 10 different kingdoms around the 5th, 6th century? What if that's the true understanding of the prophecy, as the historicists and history tells us? What if that's the truth? Don't you think you might want to find out, all of you dispensational pre-tribulation rapture believers out there? And you can read about it for free. Go to horeapocalypticae.wordpress.com and read about it for yourself. And if you need a link to that, it's on my Bible study page or tab at my website at crosstheborder.org, and you'll see a resources link there. While you're at it, read F. Tupper Sofsky's Rulers of Evil. So the Bible tells us. Now, a lot of people see America. It's in the news. And they're talking about it on True News, and DK should be talking more about it, but he's spending too much time on Trump derangement. The demise of America, and he has talked quite a bit about it, so I'm not really putting him down. Definitely a worth listening to show. Yeah. Don't be dissuaded. But he has talked about the loss of the power, the loss of empire in America. Well, I say good. America was not supposed to be an empire. It was not founded as an empire. But it did it did receive such a high status of wealth and influence in the world through World War II, as predicted by the Bible itself. If you believe that the Revelation 13 earth beast, which is the seventh beast power introduced in the Revelation, okay, of all of the beast powers, it is the one that is enumerated number seven, okay, in our supplemental chapter 17, where it explains the history of the beast powers, where they arise and when they arose and who followed who. And then, of course, the seventh one arises in a different from a different locality, but it does come alongside and help the sea beast. Okay. That is the European, the Western European locality, the beast that occupies that locality. It does help it and creates an image to it. Okay. And that is the image of the beast, because it is a ruling power that rules over the entire earth. And that was demonstrated clearly through 2020, 2021, and 2022. Clearly, it was the World Health Organization, which is an appendage of the United Nations, the image of the beast, that set down the rule for the world. And everyone's talking, a lot, some people are talking about bipolar, the America, the dollar's falling. But don't believe for a minute we're going into a bipolar world, okay? Because, yeah, the money may becoming bipolar, but really it's just leaving the dollar as its center. And what will develop, what the Antichrist and those in power, yes, in all of the BRICS nations too, as well as America, there is that one power that is part of the chronology that is revealed in the supplemental chapter 13 of the Revelation. And I wrote in my book, the book is called The Beast Apocalyptic, if you haven't read it yet, anyone who wants to understand the Revelation, and as the subtitle says, an exposition of the apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. Very necessary for understanding. You don't understand the symbol, the beast symbol, and the related symbols that go with it, then you don't understand the Revelation at all. You can have no understanding. But if you do understand them, it'll change everything in your understanding. And you'll have to walk away from things like dispensational, pre-tribulation, rapturism, that you might understand that that's only counter-reformation eschatology to deflect the identification of the man who sits in the papal chair from being the man of sin, or the also known as the Antichrist and the false prophet. These are all names for the same character, because he is all of those things, and he has been since the 5th century, when he was first revealed. And there were a lot of people that saw that revealing over the subsequent centuries, from the time that his 1,260-year reign began in Western Europe. Anyway, I have this chapter in the book I was just showing you, Beast Apocalyptic, Revelation 13, A Tale of Two Beasts. And of course, we have the first, the sea beast, which comes up out of the sea. That's one locality. So we read about the sea beast there. And then we read about, well, I have different manifestations, talking about the manifestations of the sea beast at different times in history, how it appeared. And then we have the rise of the two-horned earth beast. And that leads to the era that we're living in. And then we see, the association, okay, we see the association of the two-horned earth beast with the sea beast in this era, because they could never have an association. They could never have a relationship before the rise of the two-horned earth beast. Now, the earth beast rose up first, but it did not become obvious of its position. But that doesn't mean that the Vatican wasn't doing, and its shadow government was not doing everything it could in the interim. See, because the two-horned earth beast helped the sea beast by creating the image. And that happened during a 40-year period, which I believe was the era of the outpouring of the seventh vial, because of how it describes an era in which the political convulsions and earthquakes that took place reshaped the entire world, and also included the entire earth, not just world, but earth, the whole earth, the scripture says. So it's something that had never happened before. There had never a shaking like that before. And it took 40 years, encompassing World War I and World War II. And out of that 40 years came the healing of the head wound. That's right. The head that was wounded was healed, gained back its status on the world stage as a sovereign, but not a sovereign over merely Western Europe. No, not satisfied with that. They want to be sovereign over the whole world, thus the image of the beast, through which it can vicariously, through the Rothschild bankers, the Illuminati, the Masons, the CFR, the Committee of 300, Washington, D.C., Financial London, the Vatican, Jesuit-controlled China, Russia, is in rebellion against that power right now. And I believe, it does happen that variously a nation here and there will rebel against the Antichrist power, as England did. It was the tenth of the kingdom that fell away during its infamous 1260-year reign of the ten-horned sea beast. It was the horn that fell away. England was. Yeah, it began with a king who wanted to marry again, who wanted to divorce his wife. That's how it began. But nonetheless, it happened. God uses even evil men and despicable men to serve his purpose, to mold things and shape things and direct things into the path that he wants. And that's why I'm not worried about who the next president of the U.S. is. God has ordained Joe Biden for his purpose. And yes, for us, for his people. I'm praying. I'm praying for a more Cyrus type of, ruler in America. Because we have there's no way that we're going to get a true Christian into office unless one gets into office and then becomes a true Christian. Because God could change any man anywhere at any time. And if we should be praying for anything, it's that. Like George Soros, his son is now taking over his empire. Because George, if you haven't noticed, he's getting up there, and at the end he could die any day. And should we rejoice? No, we should pray for his son, that his son has an encounter with the Almighty. Yes, but we have to remember who is really in charge, and that is God is in charge over everything. So we have the rise of the two-horned earth beast. And you can read one of my earlier versions of this for free. It's at horiapocalypticae.wordpress.com, volume 3. Chapter 9, I believe it's even called Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. I'm not sure about that. Let's see if I go there. Let me open up a tab here and go to the Hori Apocalypticae. Yeah, let me hit something here where I can get a link. Oh, there it was right there. Volume 3, Click on volume 3, go down there to chapter 9. And it's called Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. So that's one of my earliest versions of this exposition on this part of chapter 13, the second half of chapter 13. And you can read about attributes of the Earth Beast prefigured in the vision, identity of the Earth Beast prefigured in the vision, and how the Earth Beast creates an image of the Beast. And finally, section 4 is the mark of the Beast, because it has to do with the three beast powers coming together and working together. Now, I believe that America, as the seventh beast, or second beast of Revelation 13, the seventh enumerated beast of apocalyptic scripture, is the Earth Beast, the two-horned Earth Beast. I believe it is America. And I believe I lay out an unrefutable case in my book, The Beast Apocalyptic. And you can see an earlier version of that case for free. You can read it there. And then you might want to get this book. The Beast Apocalyptic. But nonetheless, you can read that for free and dissuade me. You know, if you don't believe it's true, convince me. Because if you have a more convincing case for something else, then I want to open up my Bible and see it. Yeah, I really do, because I really want the truth. And if I don't have it, then, you know, I'm willing to lay it down, let everybody know that I, because I've done it before, that I've made a mistake and changing my mind. I've changed my mind about some details, but yeah, the main thrust is there, because I just am able to see more. Because when I wrote that version, the earlier version there, I didn't know where the seventh vial fit in. And I kept wondering, you know, and praying to God, what about World War I and World War II? Where do they fit in? I need to find, if they're in the scripture, I want to find them. Well, I believe I have identified them. And I believe that it is the best interpretation out there, that the seventh vial opens with the 40-year period encompassing World War I and World War II because of all of the things, what came out of it, okay? And it does include the whole Earth, not just the locality of the you know, 10-horned sea beast and its Western European reign for 1,260 years, but now we see at the end, in conjunction with the Earth Beast, that this power rises up again because it is helped to do this. And the creation of the image seems to be the main thing through which it's working. And we've watched that. That's been demonstrated. So as far as the world's been splitting up, I believe that the Antichrist has total, you know, say 90% control. There's always the human element. But I believe they have enough power to like they did with Donald Trump. They didn't like Donald Trump. They got him out of office. Will they let him in again? I don't know. If they think they can use him, because the American populace is rebelling against their tyranny, and it's becoming louder all the time. And I say it's about time. Thank God for it. It's what I've been praying for. So, yeah, go to that there, and let's see, I'll put that as a link into the chat room, too, in case anyone wants to follow up on that, to horeapocalyptike.wordpress.com, and it's chapter 9 of volume 3, and read that for yourself. And please, come back to me, and leave a comment there. And show me if I'm wrong, or show me a better exposition that fits better and cannot be overthrown. Because everything I lay out there is in complete compliance and cannot be excluded by the scripture. I can say that much. It cannot be excluded by the scripture. But if you got a better solution that cannot be excluded by the scripture, then I'm interested. I'll put it that way. Okay. And of course, that's followed, and I've talked about the three frog era of chapter 10 of the same volume there, that we are in that three frog era because the three frogs were loosed with the sixth vial, but explicitly states that what those three frogs are doing is preparing the earth and the world for the great day of God Almighty, to bring them together to battle, to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So what are these three frog-like spirits doing in the world? They're sorting it out. And people, when you look around, you see people are definitely getting sorted out. They cannot deny or hide what they are. They're not being bent to like what we've experienced in America for the long time. We've seen the prevalence of God's law and Christian thinking and the effect we've had on the society. But these three frogs are here to overthrow that. Okay? So that those that aren't true will be seen as not true. And those that are true will be seen as true. And everybody will suffer. But suffering is good for our souls, yeah. And especially if it can bring us out of the delusion and bring us to the truth. So thus we have judgments all over the earth. And I believe that the Trump shot, as some people call it, the so-called bioweapon vaccine, I believe that's a judgment. That's a judgment on the earth. And our nations are being judged. We're not being killed in wars. Wars never did the job in the past, brought about very little repentance. Remember, we read in the Revelation, and they repented not of their fornications and of their murders and of their adulteries and their idolatries. They repented not. That's the theme we see over and over again. God judges. He pours out. He brings other nations in to conquer them and put a task on them. And they suffer a lot of death, but they repent not of their sins. A judgment is a judgment. Okay, going into a break here. Would like some conversation, questions, whatever, in the chat room. So come on over and help me out for the next half hour. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Live Prophecy Reality Edition. I wanted to get into, this is from the Beast Apocalyptic, the book here, and this is part of Chapter 6, the section on the attributes of the seventh beast power. Here we have the seventh and final appearing beast power enumerated in the Scripture. We will initially examine the mentioned attributes of the seventh beast power from the divine text itself, then see if we can find a candidate in subsequent history that satisfies all of the criteria following. First, let us refer to Revelation 17, 10, and 11, and the attributes which there help us identify this new seventh king beast, revealed here as the earth beast. And it says king in the text. It also says, it says king in verse 10, but it says beast in verse 11. And so it's interchanging those terms to let us know what they are. I believe I have that. King, beast, Basileus, Therion. See chapter 7, the beast powers discussion on the interchange of the Greek terms there used. So we see those terms being interchanged in their use to help us identify what exactly we mean by a king and a beast. So the king in the text is referring to the beast powers, the power that reigns. Okay? Number one, he is not yet come. Here's a direct future tense reference to an appearance of a seventh beast power that did not previously exist. Future from the present tense of John receiving the revelation about 95 AD, and future from the one is, the Roman sea beast then in existence. Revelation 13 has the only mention of the appearance of an additional and subsequent beast power in the Scriptures, so of necessity must be the same beast power mentioned in both texts. Number two, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. John still directing us to the future tense, when he cometh, asserts the continuance of this beast power must be relatively short in comparison to the other beast powers before it, or at least the one immediately preceding and contemporary with it, of which the latter seems to be the logical. We now turn back to our primary text above, Revelation 13, 11 through 14. Number 3. This beast comes up out of the earth. First, we notice that this beast does not rise up out of the sea as did the four previous beast powers. Remember, we're talking about the apocalyptic beasts of both Daniel and the Revelation, of which the fourth is mentioned in the Revelation and Daniel. So tying them together, we have four beasts that came up out of the sea, And we notice that this beast, this seventh one, does not rise up out of the sea as did the four previous beast powers. The sea, waters or flood, each respectively indicating multitudes or a densely populated area, such as the old world, and conquest by warfare or the sword, the flood. This earth beast would rise up without conquest of the sea beast preceding it, nor would it occupy the highly populated locality of the preceding sea beast powers, though it would visit there several times during two world wars to fight on that soil. It would not occupy it, at least not as a nation to take over and assimilate it, okay? In the way that all of the sea beast powers assimilated in succession over the one before them, okay? So there's only one symbolic use of the word earth that I could find in the Revelation, and that concerning the church's flight into the wilderness. This would seem to confirm the understanding that it refers to the opposite definition than that of the sea symbol, that this beast did not rise up in the old world locality where the sea beast did, but rather would appear from a locality which was sparsely populated upon its rise. Number 4. He had two horns like a lamb. For reference, averting our attention to the division of the Greek Empire with its singular horn being broke off and supplanted by four horns signifying a new fourfold division, the 10 horns of the current concurrent sea beast, 3 being plucked up before the little horn, etc. We expect to see something representing a twofold division of power during the continuance of this earth beast, as demonstrated by the short history of the Medo-Persian power. We, however, have no explicit determination of exactly what these horn divisions represent, but we are presented with polar opposite attributes, one being the appearance of a lamb, the other, dragon speaking. So these must be what we look for first. Therefore, it's being described as like a lamb is a probable indicator of one of the attribute of one of those horns, or division of power, and the other indicated by our next attribute. Number 5. He spake as a dragon. This draconic influence or division would be concurrent throughout the life of this earth beast with the two horns, as we notice no change, or one horn being plucked up by another as in the Grecian and Roman Empire beasts previous to it, or the Medo-Persian, where one horn is higher than the other. This beast may exhibit an equilibrium, or even a constant power struggle between its lamb-like qualities and dragon-like conversation. Let me ask you, does that sound familiar? Does that sound like exactly what's happening in America today? No wonder. The Bible is true, and it prophesied what we are exactly seeing today. So this beast may exhibit an equilibrium or even a constant power struggle between its lamb-like qualities and its dragon-like conversation. Something similar to the old cartoon caricature with a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, especially in its support of the sea beast, which derives its power from the dragon or Satan, the god of this world. Though this beast may have been established with the best of intentions, we understand that corruption is ultimately inescapable in the governments of men. Number 6. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. In its history, the Roman Empire ruled the then known world and all of its civilizations. It had military outposts in many of those nations. It was the police power of the world. This kind of, and I'm saying was, because we still are, but speaking for America still is, but we can see that's on a decline. And I believe that's a good thing. It was the police power of the world. This is the kind of power that will be necessary to fulfill the following tasks, 7 through 14, set forth in the vision for this earth beast power. And my contention is that of the tasks listed in this prophecy for the two-horned earth beast, that America has already fulfilled every task. So what happens to America from here on? Yeah. Is what we have to determine as the American people, pretty much. God knows, but he's not telling. Because he only gives us the information he gives us in the scripture. And if you find more, I'd like to know about it. But read what I've written first. Okay. Number six, he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. In its history, the Roman Empire ruled the then known world and all of its civilizations. It had military outposts in many of those nations. It was the police power of the world. This is the kind of power that will be necessary to fulfill the following tasks. And here we go. Number seven, causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. And how would we do that? How would America do that? By creating the image of the beast, by creating an image through which the head of the beast, the wounded head that is healed now, can vicariously rule the world. The Antichrist, the man of sin. Okay? Causes the earth and them which dwell. This is an overview of the end result and motivation of this horn division in the following actions, or in the biblical sense, its dragon conversation. He uses the following feats to accomplish world obedience to the sea beast and its image. Number 8. Doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. These are not miracles. Yeah. None of these beasts have supernatural power. Everything can be explained by physics. In the context, as in the Roman, this power is military, an overwhelming military power. And contemporarily, this means firepower, a power used to bend the nations to its will. 9. Deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. I say false miracles because it deceiveth them. So deception. Miracles by deception are false miracles. Okay? Deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Okay? And what kind of miracles did they do in the sight of the beast and of the whole world? Well, we, America, the American beast power, displayed its military might where? On the Western European theater. Did we not do that in the sight of the sea beast? Absolutely. We were there. They could see what America could do and did. And not only that, the whole world saw what America did finally in Japan. Here we continue the theme of an overwhelming military power that would seem miraculous by any historical standard, and the exhibition of such power in the locality of, or in the sight of the sea beast. 10. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. So much so, this power, that the entire earth will easily capitulate to the assembly of the image of the beast, and eventual worldwide obedience to it. Number 11. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. The end result of the wonder, power, and miraculous machinations of the dragon influence in this earth beast lead to the next step of worship or obedience to the image of the beast that was and is not, and yet is, which will vicariously extend its rule to the whole earth through the construct of this image. Now, I heard, listened to True News yesterday, and he prophesied the end of the United Nations, that we're going to have several United Nations. I don't think so, see, because he's still wondering who the Antichrist will be during the Great Tribulation of 7 years. Yeah, but he won't read my books, or yeah, he wrote his own book, definitely amillennial and totally ignorant on the entirety of the revelation. That's where a lot of amillennials stand, because they can't figure it out. They can't pay attention to it because it might overthrow their amillennialism, their unbelief that Jesus could actually come back and rule the earth for 1,000 years, as if that's a bad thing. Continuing, number 12. And he causes many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This is indicating that the second beast dragon speech or horn division of power must be a primary motivator behind the enforcement action of the image it instigates, which enforcement action extends to the following attribute in such action. So what we're talking about is Washington, D.C. and New York City. It's all pretty much, that's the head over there. Because, of course, in New York, we have the United Nations. And in Washington, D.C., we have the third city state that of the city states that rule the world for the Antichrist, because he owns it. Why do you think what's going on over there is going on right now? Why do you think all of those Catholics are running the nation, all these deviant Catholics, these idolaters and perverts and corrupt people are in charge in Washington, D.C.? Yes. Like I said, all we can do is pray for Osiris. And I think we should. Because there's nothing saying, as far as the rest after America, this beast power has completed what the scripture says that is going to complete. And I believe we are there. We are at that point where America is done. What else can America do? I can see the demise, America falling away from prominence on the world scene. And I'm thinking, that's a good thing. America needs just to bring it home and take care of America's business. And, yeah, because I've read about the action that's going to take place over there in Western Europe in the prophecy. That's become apparent to me. Moving on. 13. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, the imposition of which we will discuss in a following section, which we're not going to do, but it's in a following section, speaking of the mark of the beast being implemented worldwide, just like the kill shot was implemented worldwide. You don't think they could do it? Well, they may not be able to do another kill shot, but like I said, 30% of the people would go along. Another 30% would allow themselves to be coerced, maybe, but maybe not a second time, but maybe a first time on the mark of the beast. You see what I'm getting at here? And then there's the third of the people that will say, no way, Jose, on everything that goes against the truth. Okay? So we have identity of the earth beast prefigured in the vision. Now we look to recent history, a history which follows all of the expositors whose shoulders we have so far stood upon, a future they could not see, and it seems so obvious, so wonderfully fulfilled, that only one candidate among the prominent powers of the world stands out immediately as fulfilling every criterion of this two-horned earth beast in every detail prefigured in the apocalyptic vision. Here we expound upon them one point at a time. 1. America had not yet come at the reception of the revelation by John. These are the same things we enumerated as necessary requirements that the earth beast would fulfill. So we're going by number, answering to each one. America had not yet come at the reception of the revelation by John. The new world where this power appeared was an unknown. Upon the punishment and wounding, as it were to death, of that head of the sea beast, a dominion that lasted for 1260 years under that head, the papal power and its unholy Roman Empire seemed to disappear. Was and is not. By 1870, it seemed only a powerless shadow of it remained. Number 2. America rises in the New World about the same time of the wounding of the papal head, and has now existed a little more than 200 years in its current constitutional established form. How much time can this peace power continue before it exceeds the short space qualification? Exactly what is a short space in context of the prophecy? Even if Christ were not to appear for several hundred more years, praise God, I don't think it's going to be that long, America's time would still be a short space in comparison to its contemporary, the sea beast. Number three, America comes up out of the earth rather than the sea, representing peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Where the four previous beast powers rose up, this beast rises out of the New World, a sparsely populated wilderness by comparison. There is no conquest or necessity of assimilation, as noticed in the previous consecutive sea beast powers, so that this power can be manipulated and come alongside and support the sea beast as predicted in the text. Number four, he had two horns like a lamb, and number five, he spake as a dragon. Unlike Western Europe, where we can variously name separate kingdoms to identify with the 10 horn divisions when they appeared, or the Medo-Persian and Greek by the explicit designations of their horns in the text, our task here is not so easy. When a tenth part of the papal kingdom fell, which tenth we have identified as the falling away of Protestant England from the papal states, many had been fleeing to the New World to escape religious persecution and papal inquisition in the same place where Protestant England eventually established 13 colonies. Canada to the north was a crown colony of the sovereign city of London. Mexico, down through all of South America, Latin America, was conquered on behalf of the Vatican by the papal vassals of Portugal and Spanish conquistadors. These are all primarily Roman Catholic. In the New World, the only power that rose up and in time came to exhibit all of the attributes of the Revelation 13 earth beast is the one that developed out of the 13 colonies planted by Protestant England, the United States of America. These two horns appear to be lifelong polar opposites, as indicated. They coexist without change during the continuance of the earth beast. These two horns demonstrate two equal and opposing powers at the origin of this beast, lamb-like and draconic in speech. The one may be gullible and trusting as a little lamb, the other deceptive in practice with hidden and ulterior motives. The political atmosphere in present-day America, depicted as red versus blue, absolutely confirms this dichotomy of worldviews in constant and vacillating struggle with each other. When I consider the dominating worldview of some of the other nations, I come to believe that the very struggle is a gift from God. America began with a Declaration of Independence. Then the American Continental Congress adopted the Articles of Confederation, the first Constitution of the United States. On November 15, 1777, the present Constitution for the United States was written. The Constitutional Convention was written during the Constitutional Convention. Those that opposed the concentration of power, perhaps as a concession, were able to get the Bill of Rights attached to it in an attempt to preserve those enumerated liberties to the people. It was signed on September 17, 1787. F. Tupper Saucy, in his book, Rulers of Evil, unquestionably exposes the dragon influence and intrigue present in the establishment of the U.S. Constitution, and more specifically, the concentration of power, and I call that Nicolaitan, in the newly created capital of this beast, the sovereign city of the District of Columbia. Though this nation was founded on many godly or lamb-like principles, the draconic influence must eventually turn it to come alongside the draconic power of the sea beast that infected it at its inception. The history of this alliance between these two beasts is that which is foretold in the 13th chapter of the Revelation. This division of power represented by these two horns seems to portray an equal struggle between a power vested in the people versus a concentration of power vested in the dragon and its patient influence in the creation of an overpowerful centralized federal government when it displaced a simple confederation. This division, if we be correct, is not so much a division of locality, but a division of spirit and worldview in the very heart of the people. The question is, how long will this nation divided stand? And what will be the demise of it? This the scripture does not answer beyond the mention of a short space. Number 6, he exercises all the powers of the first beast before him. And we don't have to talk about World War II. We'd have to talk about the creation of the image of the beast, the United Nations. We have. We all understand that. And the rest of this chapter goes on into those details, which we don't have time for right now. This new image, the United Nations, speaks of that. And then we have our section on the mark of the beast. We detail that. And there we are. We're out of time. And I want to thank you all for listening and showing up for the broadcast today. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time.